morning, everybody. Please be seated. Our final case today is case number 58152, Reyes versus State Department of Motor Vehicles. Mr. Schoenfeld for the appellant, Mr. Mattson for the respondent. Mr. Schoenfeld.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Honorable Court, Richard Schoenfeld appearing on behalf of the appellant, Rosemary Reyes. The issue in this case boils down to whether a first-time DUI offender in the state of Nevada can lose the ability to elect between a breath test or a blood test under the Nevada implied consent law based solely upon the arresting officer not being breath test certified. I respectfully submit to the court that this is essentially an issue of law to be decided. Issues of law are subject to plenary review under McGrath versus Department of Public Safety at 123 Nevada 120. In the event that the Honorable Court finds that this is a mixed question of law and fact, then it is subject to an abuse of discretion standard and whether or not the administrative law judge acted arbitrarily or capriciously in entering the decision in this case. And that's found in Father and Sons versus TSA at 124 Nevada 254. When a statute's language is plain and unambiguous, this Honorable Court will give that language its ordinary meaning. In interpreting the plain language of a statute, the Honorable Court presumes that the legislature intended to use words in their usual and natural meaning. So now we get to the facts of this case. At 10:52 in the evening, Officer Albertson pulled over appellant Rosemary Reyes. He then arrested her on suspicion of driving under the influence. He did not read her the implied consent law at that point in time because he wanted to wait until he arrived at the jail to see if there was a breath test certified officer available to administer the breath test. The officer was not breath test certified. That is the only step that he supposedly took to comply with Nevada implied consent warning, which provides that a person has a right to refuse a blood test if the breath test is reasonably available. He would wait until he got to the jail to see if fortuitously an officer that was certified was at the jail. He then testified because there was nobody at the jail that could administer the breath test, he was going to force her or require her to submit to a blood test. And it's a quote, because there was nobody available for breath, because he was not certified, she was required to submit to a blood test. She wasn't given the option, and that's found at appellant appendix page 15 to 16. The officer acknowledged specifically that the sole basis for the breath test not being available was that he was not certified. The breath test machine was at the jail, it was functioning. The officer also testified that he could have called dispatch to request the assistance of a breath test certified officer. He could have called over the radio to request the assistance of a breath test certified officer. He could have called other officers to request their assistance. In addition to that, under the two-hour rule that applies to the DUIs in the state of Nevada, the officer still had an additional 43 minutes within which he could have waited at the jail to see if, again, fortuitously, an officer who was certified would arrive. However, the only thing the officer did was waited until he got to the jail before informing the appellant that she would be required to submit to a blood test because he wasn't certified and there was no officer there. That's it. Waited until he got to the jail to see if by chance there would be a certified officer. Nevertheless, the administrative law judge deemed that to be substantial compliance, and that's where the error occurred. At the administrative law judge proceedings, we submitted to the court the decision from Judge Levitt from the 8th Judicial District Court in the Wharton versus Nevada Department of Motor Vehicles case. While I understand that that is persuasive authority, it is essentially on point. And in that case, the petitioner was pulled over for DUI. He requested a breath test. The officer was not breath test certified, so he required that a blood test be administered. In that case, the court found that it was not substantial compliance, nor was it good faith for the officer merely to wait until he got to the jail to see if there was somebody certified to administer the test. That is exactly what occurred in this case.
That's a district court decision.
Yes, persuasive authority. Was not appealed by the state of Nevada, or by the Department of Motor Vehicles. It was not appealed. In the administrative law judge decision, while it is part of the record, so it's clear that the court had it, and the district court acknowledged that the ALJ had the Wharton decision, they made no attempt to distinguish the case. Instead, they found that the officer substantially complied by merely waiting to see if there was somebody at the jail that was certified. So then the case goes up to the district court. In the district court decision, while the court attempted to distinguish the Wharton case from this case, the court did so based on an erroneous factual finding. And what that order states is that the officer called other members of his squad to see if he could get assistance in administering the breath test. That didn't happen. It's an erroneous finding. There's nothing in the record to support that finding that was entered by the district court. So the fact of the matter is that the only thing this officer did was wait until he got to the jail to see if fortuitously someone would be there that could administer the
test. Well, he did do the field sobriety test to me at the scene of the stop.
Yes, he did the field sobriety test. However, under implied consent statute, the field sobriety tests have no bearing on whether the person has a right to a blood or a breath test.
Right. Mr. Chairman, what I'm interested in, and your opposing counsel I'm going to ask as well, is how would you have us define the term reasonably available? And I thought about this a lot. I mean, what about rural areas? If this were an opinion, it's going to be a statewide rule. And what about, you know, Esmeralda County or something like that? I mean, how do you assure that that you have somebody available, and what would you suggest?
And I respect the question, Justice Gibbons. A couple of things. First is that the statute is clear and unambiguous, and it states that if it's reasonably available, you're entitled to the breath test. What it does not state is that if the arresting officer or the booking officer is breath test certified, you're entitled to a breath test. That's number one. Number two is, I can't think of a case where there hasn't been a nurse at the jail who withdraws blood. So the blood is always available. Why isn't the breath always available? Why don't they have an officer that's on call who's certified? The certification process is not time consuming. I believe
so. You're talking about the city of Las Vegas. He was taken to the, or she was taken to the city jail. But how about in areas that maybe Boulder City or Henderson or something like that?
I mean, Gibbons, if they have the breath test machine, then I believe under the statute, the way it is written, that they have an obligation to have certified officers available.
Okay.
Otherwise, don't have the machine. There's a couple of things that can happen here. The legislature can change the law to say that you no longer have an election between a blood or a breath test under Nevada implied consent, or they can say it's the officer's election between blood or breath. But what they cannot do is ignore the way the statute is currently written. And it says
but the statute as written does not impose a mandate on the police to have available a breath test analyst. And I think it's the same question in a way that Justice Gibbons just articulated. Are we, if we credit your argument, expanding this to impose an unfunded mandate on cities and counties and highway department across the state to always have available the breath test?
If the machine is available at the jail, then it presupposes that there are going to be members of law enforcement who are certified. What I am suggesting is required under the statute, even if we take the definition of reasonably available submitted by the state at page 7 of their brief, it means with reason, not extreme or excessive. And I don't find it to be extreme or excessive to require that the officer contact other members of his squad, contact dispatch, or call through the radio to see if there's a certified officer available. You just have to take some steps. In this case, absolutely no steps were taken, and that's what Judge Leavitt held in the Wharton case, that you have to take some steps. There has to be a good faith attempt to comply with the driver's right under implied consent if the machine or the equipment is reasonably available to be to have the election between the blood or the breath test. So if it's in a rural county, it just requires some good faith steps towards it. There has to be some meat to the word reasonably available. It can't just be an officer or even a policy to say, you know what, we're not going to certify any officers and therefore no breath test. Well, if you have the machines, it presupposes there's somebody certified to operate. We live in a large city. This was in the evening when most DUIs occur. The breath test certification process is not very grueling. It probably takes a day. I believe it's an 8-hour course to take it. So it's not unreasonable. To the flip side, it was reasonable to attempt, in this case, to allow Appellant Reyes to submit to the breath test, and it was completely denied.
What level of review should we apply to the administrative agency's determination?
I respectfully submit that it would be a plenary review because this is a question of law, not fact. However, if it is, in the court's determination, a question of fact, then it is subject to the abuse of discretion standard and whether or not the administrative law judge acted arbitrarily and capriciously.
I may not have been precise. So you do not believe that there's any deference owed to the agency's administrative competence in interpreting laws that it administers?
The law is correct.
So you wouldn't give any sort of federally Chevron deference?
I would not. I believe it should be a plenary review because it's a strictly statutory question. The statute is clear and unambiguous, and it requires that the officer take some reasonable steps. No steps were taken. if the court is going to employ more of a factual analysis under an abuse of discretion, then I would submit that even though the Wharton decision is persuasive authority, the administrative law judge made no attempt to distinguish the Wharton case from this case, and the facts are almost identical. I don't believe that it's appropriate for an officer merely to just wait and see when the statute mandates that a first-time offender in Nevada is entitled to a breath test if the breath test is reasonably available. And in this case, no steps were taken. The statute is clear and unambiguous. If we give the natural meanings to the words, it becomes clear that the officer has to do something to attempt to comply with the implied consent statute. And in this case, what the officer stated was that he was going to wait and see when he got to the jail and determine whether or not my client would have the luxury of a breath test. And I'll reserve the remainder for reply.
You have 4 minutes and 43 seconds left. Madsen.
I do have one preliminary matter for the panel. This has already been discussed with counsel, but I need to disclose that I did represent Justice Cherry as a potential witness in the Elizabeth Halverson judicial disciplinary proceeding.
I didn't remember that. Thank you.
And so I disclosed that to counsel through a letter, and I don't believe that he has any problem with that.
I have absolutely no problem.
I didn't remember.
We should reset to 15, eh?
All right. My arguments today are going to be based on two public policies. First public policy is that the implied consent statutes are to be liberally construed so as to keep drunk drivers off the highways and roadways of the state of Nevada. That's first. Second public policy that should be considered here today is that the best evidence should be obtained when someone is charged with driving under the influence. And that has to do with the blood or breath test. So those are two public policies that I'm going to address in detail in a moment. But first I want to touch on the statute that's at issue in this case, and that is NRS 484C.160, subsection 4A. And that provision provides that in certain circumstances a person may refuse a blood test if the means for a breath test are reasonably available. Two parts to that provision. First part, person must refuse the blood test. In this case, there's no evidence in the record that Ms. Reyes actually refused the blood test or made a choice between a blood or a breath test. There's no evidence in the record. Now, counsel for Ms. Reyes will argue and has argued that she did refuse the blood test, but there's nothing to support that in the record. So it's our position that that first part of the provision has not been satisfied by Ms. Reyes. Now, the second part of that provision requires an analysis as to the reasonable availability of a breath test, whether the means are reasonably available. And the administrative law judge actually put the definition of reasonable in his findings of fact, conclusions of law, and decision. And part of that definition of reasonable is, as counsel for Ms. Reyes stated, not extreme or excessive. What Ms. Reyes would have this court do is issue an opinion that requires officers to perform a laundry list of tasks to try to find an officer that's certified to conduct a breath test. That's extreme and excessive.
Well, let me ask you this, and I understand that, but the flip side, I think Mr. Schoenfeld's arguing, is that if we affirm that this decision, it potentially gives law enforcement the license to have nobody there at any police station to conduct a breath test at any time, you know, like that, and then they can just give them the blood tests, which are probably more definitive and all for the courts and all. So how do we strike a fair balance to both parties here? What's your thoughts on that?
Sure. First of all, Your Honor, what the officer did in this case was reasonable. He wasn't breath certified, so he gave Ms. Reyes the option to go to the detention center to see if someone was available, because he wanted to give her the option to choose which one she wanted. But when they got to the detention center, no one was available. Now, I think that this court set forth a good test that can be used in these type of cases, and that was set forth in Brock v. State, 107 Nevada, 638. And that happened to be a forced blood draw case, But let's assume, you know, for argument purposes, that this is a forced blood draw case. And in that case, this court stated that there is no public policy served by excluding a blood test result when an officer did not act in bad faith or did not deliberately violate the law. I think that's a good test. And in this case, the officer did not act in bad faith. He did not deliberately violate the law. He was not certified to administer a breath test. So he said, you know, let's go to the detention center to see if somebody's available. And they were not available.
But that kind of avoids the question of what standard should reasonably available mean. How do you define that? Because you're saying for the exclusion of evidence purposes, how we would evaluate this. But I think the question we're trying to get to is, if you were defining reasonably available, would it be okay if the police just didn't hire anyone who could conduct these tests? I think that's your opposing counsel's point. And at what point, you know, are they disabling themselves from offering an option that the legislature appeared to contemplate?
Well, let me address that by discussing another case of this court, and that's Schroeder v. State, 105 Nevada 179. And in that case, this court stated that officers should not have the obligation to forego their duties and responsibilities to delay testing through this process. They have many things to do. So what Ms. Reyes is asking this court to do is delay as long as possible and possibly get all the way to the two-hour rule and violate that rule. I don't know if they want an officer to go to 1 hour and 59 minutes. But this court also stated in Schroeder that any delay adversely affects the reliability of a test result, whether it's blood or breath. And so it's the department's position that officers need to take steps, but not a laundry list of steps, such that there's a delay in them doing their other duties and responsibilities, and such a delay that the test becomes unreliable or they even violate the two-hour rule. And again, in this case, the officer went to the detention center and there was no one available. Now, there's been emphasis put on the district court case of Warden, which is no binding authority, but I just want to address that for a moment to state that that's dissimilar to this case. In that case, which coincidentally was authored by Ms. Reyes' counsel, in that order it states that the officer did nothing, didn't even go to the detention center to see if someone was available, and violated the two-hour rule. Well, in this case, those aren't the facts and circumstances at all. The officer didn't violate the two-hour rule, and he did go to the detention center to try to find somebody. There's also been emphasis put on the word luxury by Ms. Reyes' counsel. That was a word used by the officer in his testimony at the administrative hearing. And what he meant by that was, because Ms. Reyes didn't make an option or didn't make a choice between breath or blood tests, he gave her the luxury of going to the detention center to see if someone was available to provide that to her. So that's all that meant. Instead of using the word giving her a choice or an option, he just used the word luxury. There's nothing more to it.
It's disputed if she was read the implied consent law there, or is it not? I thought Mr. Schoenfeld said that was not read to her at the scene. When was she advised of her options on the blood test versus the breathalyzer?
My understanding is that she was advised at the scene.
Okay. Yes. So that's in dispute factually, that the officer said she was advised at the scene and she said that she wasn't?
They're stating that it was done at the detention center.
Okay, so there's a factual dispute on that then.
I can find the exact part of the record on that. But, so in terms of the definition of what's reasonably available, I think we need to focus on officers shouldn't have to do things that are extreme or excessive. In other words, a laundry list. Officers should call this person and that person and this person. Let's think of this in a practical standpoint, okay? Let's say that the officer called somebody, as they want to require, and the officer said, you know, I am breath certified, but I'm 30 minutes out. Okay. Now, is that officer supposed to wait 30 minutes for this other officer that's certified to come into the detention center to provide this testing? Well, what happens to that? How does that serve public policy? It doesn't. It delays the testing, which this court has said in Schroeder, affects the reliability of the testing. And why should officers have to sit around the detention center and wait for somebody when they have these other duties and responsibilities to carry out? They shouldn't have to wait for 2 hours or an hour and 59 minutes to find somebody that's certified to carry out a breath test. Unfortunately, in this case, no one was available at the time. He made an effort to go to the detention center. The department's position is that that was reasonable and that a breath test was not reasonably available. Now, the officer substantially complied with the implied consent statutes. There's substantial evidence in the record to support the administrative law judge's decision that Ms. Reyes's driving privilege in Nevada should have been revoked. And it's the department's position, and we seek and request that this court affirm the revocation. And I do want to point out that Ms. Reyes's blood test result was a 0.147. That's almost double the legal limit in the state of Nevada. I asked, and I'd ask petitioner, what public policy would be served by excluding a test result such as that? I don't think there's any. Again, the public policy is that these implied consent statutes are construed liberally so that we can keep drunk drivers off the roadways and highways of the state of Nevada. And the evidence is there to support this revocation, and ask that this court do so by affirming it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Schoenfeld, the rebuttal, you have 4 minutes and 43 seconds.
Thank you. I'm going to start by pointing out to Appellant's Appendix, page 15, which is the record related to the implied consent. And what it shows there is that, according to the police report, the implied consent box was checked off. However, it did not have an election as to which test was requested. So I asked. It says they were read implied consent law, which they indicated they understood and consented. And then there's a box where you can state whether they consented to which test they elected. Correct? The answer, yeah, yes. Question, and you didn't check off which test was elected, correct? Yes. Isn't it true because the systems were down and you weren't, were not, whether or not petitioner had priors, that you were required to take a blood test? And I don't know if it was transcribed inaccurately or I didn't speak artfully at the time, but what that's referring to is that the system was down and potentially he wasn't sure whether or not there were priors. His answer was no. She had to take a blood test, quote, because there was nobody available for breath. Question, when you say nobody was available, what do you mean by that? Answer, I'm not breath certified. Okay, so you told her that she had to take a blood test, correct? Answer, yes, I usually wait to put that in there until I get down to the jail because I want to give them the option at that point if there's somebody available to do a breath test and they care to do breath, I'll let them administer a breath test to them. If not, they're pretty much stuck with doing blood. Okay, when you say the breath test wasn't available and the machine was at the jail, correct? Yes. So the officer specifically testified, and there's more in the record further, that he didn't even give her the option between the blood or the breath, because when he got to the jail, there wasn't a certified officer. And in EBARB, this court, it's implied that you're entitled to an option between the blood or breath test. So to suggest that Ms. Reyes didn't refuse, in Wharton, the court held that you don't have to physically refuse the blood test. In this case, she wasn't even given the option of refusing. She was told, quote, because there wasn't anybody available, that she was going to be required to do a blood test, she was stuck with the blood test. Now, there was no finding in the district court that there was a lack of refusal in this case. That's not the issue here. The issue is that the Nevada Department of Motor Vehicles would like this court to, in their terms, liberally construe the statute. But the statute is clear and unambiguous. You are entitled to the option between blood and breath if you're a first-time offender. My client was not given that option. The officer took no reasonable steps to comply with the Nevada implied consent. The Brockett case is totally off point. In Brockett, the officer arrested somebody when at the time the implied consent statute specifically referenced if you had a prior Nevada DUI, you had to submit to blood. In that case, the person had a California DUI. The officer actually believed that a California DUI was applicable under the statute to require somebody to submit to a blood test. He was wrong, but he in good faith believed that that was the case. In this case, there's absolutely no good faith effort whatsoever The officer merely waited to go, and I want to correct or be clear. The respondent keeps stating, well, he went down to the jail to see if somebody was certified. That's where the blood tests occur. He had to take her to the jail. He was arresting her. That's not a step. That's something that was happening anyway. So the only thing he did was going to wait and see if fortuitously there was somebody available to give the test. That's not doing anything. That's taking her to the jail. Lo and behold, there's nobody here to give you the test. I am not giving you the option. I am telling you you are required to submit to a blood test.
Was there any record developed in the DMV hearing about whether why there wasn't a certified officer available at that time when Ms. Reyes was brought down there?
His position was that there was no hotline where you could just call somebody, but he acknowledged that you could, in fact, call dispatch. You could, in fact, call over the radio. You could wait longer. There's a number of things that could have been done that weren't done. The officer's position was that waiting until you arrived at the jail before informing Ms. Reyes that she was required to take a blood test was him substantially complying with a first-time offender's right to choose between blood and breath. I respectfully submit to the court that the statute is clear and unambiguous. The legislature can change the statute if that's what they want to do, but I don't believe that we can say that public policy mandates a convoluted reading of the statute, which the respondent would call liberally construing it, when the statute is in fact clear. They can forego the election between blood or breath if that's what the legislature wants to do. They can change it so that the arresting officer or booking officer is breath test certified, then you have the option. But what cannot occur is ignoring how the statute is clearly written.
Well, the panel thanks both attorneys for their excellent presentations in this matter and briefs. And this matter will stand submitted. And we're in recess till the panel meets.